case is 95-21-57, Electric Illuminating Company versus the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, Cleveland Electric Illuminating Company. Mr. Leclerc.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Richard McLaren, and I represent the appellant, the Cleveland Electric Illuminating Company. And I would like to reserve 5 minutes for my rebuttal, if necessary.
Watch your time.
The issue in this case is the commission's decision in footnote 1 in the Garfield Heights opinion to, quote, express no opinion, end quote, with regard to the non-rate provisions of three Garfield Heights ordinances. For this purpose, the three Garfield Heights ordinances can be treated as the same. The non-rate provisions are the same. And the commission expressed no opinion on those non-rate provisions, and as a result, they are presently effective ordinances in Garfield Heights. The undisputed evidence in the record in this case is that providing these studies that are required by these non-rate provisions of the Garfield Heights ordinances, providing those studies is, quote, expensive. It is, quote, very costly, according to the senior accountant at the Public Utilities Commission. According to the senior engineer at the Public Utilities Commission, there is no practical method by which to provide some of these studies, particularly the inventory of property located within Garfield Heights. Most importantly, the commission's opinion and order finds that even if, say, tax records could be used to identify every single pole located within Garfield Heights, that inventory of the poles would not be useful for deciding the rates for the people in Garfield Heights. The commission's opinion and order at pages 10 and 11 rejects the use of such an inventory for setting rates. Then it says, on footnote 1, that nevertheless, the company is required by these ordinances to provide that inventory once a year to the clerk of council, even though it's meaningless for setting rates. Now, we suggest that the commission should be reversed and this matter should be remanded for the commission to strike the non-rate provisions, because it is undisputed that the transcripts show that it is burdensome to provide these inventories and these cost of service studies. Now,
did you present any proof at the hearing on that issue? That's what bothers me about the case. It seems to me that you won half or three quarters at the commission, and you didn't win the non-rate issues. But it's hard to find where you presented any cumulative evidence or any evidence at all that shows that the commission should have proceeded on to that second prong.
Mr. Justice Douglas, it is absolutely true that the focus of the 9 days of hearings were sections 1, which was the 30% across the board rate cut, and section 2, which was the 50%, 40%, 30% cut for the commercial and industrial customers. And the transcript references that are cited in our brief and are provided in the supplement are addressing whether or not to use the CEI's allocation methodology for setting the rates in sections 1 and sections 2. And that evidence was used to also argue that, by the way, you cannot require an inventory and it would be useless in any event to do these once a year and file them with the clerk. But it was not aimed at that. The commission is correct. Footnote 1 is correct in that there was no explicit intent to call a witness who would testify that those non-rate provisions are expensive and burdensome. The record is clear that they're expensive and burdensome, and that really the issue, Mr. Justice Douglas, at the hearing was whether or not the commission had jurisdiction at all to decide about the non-rate provisions. The argument was made, transcript 1, page 36, the argument is made that the objections to the staff report filed by the City of Garfield Heights on this subject should be stricken, and the Council for the Garfield Heights proposed to stipulate that these non-rate provisions were beyond the jurisdiction of the Commission, which I refuse to stipulate to. Even as late as the opinion in order, you'll see it attached in our appendix, the concurring opinion of Commissioner Finelli of the Commission is still, even at that late date, addressing the question whether the Commission had jurisdiction to decide
What is your authority, then, that the Commission does have authority to decide these issues?
Justice President, that's quoted in our brief. It's 4909.39, and the statute talks not only about the rate provision, but any other provision. I've italicized the words in that quote.
And you think that these issues fall within that statute?
Oh, yes, and I don't think it's disputed now. I think the Commission has said, we have jurisdiction, and we are certainly not deciding that we don't have jurisdiction. I think footnote 1 is absolutely clear on that. Once the statute was carefully read and was in front of us all, I mean, perfectly candid, the non-rate provisions were not the focus of this trial. But the Commission cannot hold, on the one hand, that we need to use a cost allocation methodology provided by CEI, audited by the staff, approved by the staff. They can't hold, on the one hand, that to set rates, you need to use a cost methodology, and then turn around and say, but you have to file all these inventories that we can't use for setting rates. You have to file them with Garfield Heights every year. They're expensive, it's undisputed. They're burdensome to do, and they're meaningless, okay? Whether or not a pole is on the side of the street that's in Garfield Heights, or across the street in, say, Maple Heights, is meaningless to how much it costs the company to serve the people on that street.
Assume for purposes of argument that we find that there was a lack of proof on this issue and therefore the Commission was right in not proceeding to it, just for purposes of argument.
Yes.
Are you precluded from proceeding in another? Are you precluded from moving in another proceeding to challenge this issue?
That's a tough hypothetical. I believe, Mr. Justice Douglas, that if, for example, Maple Heights were to then pass this identical ordinance and require these useless inventories and cost of service studies, that we could then appeal that ordinance from, say, hypothetically, Maple Heights, as we did on the complaint appeal from the rate-setting ordinance of Garfield Heights. Now, I hasten to add, that's my opinion. I don't believe it's ever been done. I looked for this in the last couple of days, anticipating this question, and I was able to find no occasion.
Can you now, forgetting Maple Heights, can you bring a direct challenge to these regulations at some subsequent moment tonight?
Your Honor, I thought about that, and again, this is only my opinion. I'm not quoting the Commission here by any means, but I believe that to challenge this, if this court doesn't remand to straighten this out, to challenge it, I believe the CEI would have to do what it is not about to do, it does not want to do, which would be to simply refuse to do it and have Garfield Heights attempt to enforce it. It would be like taking a deliberate contempt in order to take an appeal of the contempt. And I don't think we should do that through the court system where we've got an expert agency here to resolve this.
If there was a lack of proof, is your answer to that directly that this was not what the major part of this proceeding was about? It was about jurisdiction, it was about the rates, and therefore we didn't present evidence that we might have had it been a separate proceeding?
Well, looking back, Your Honor, I would very much wish I had put more evidence on, but there is evidence in there, Your Honor, that says, undisputed, chief accountant of the staff, chief engineer of the staff, said it would be very expensive to do these studies, and in any event, you can't use them for setting rates.
Was there any evidence contrary to that?
There's no.
I didn't see any evidence on it at all.
No, it's undisputed. If you look at supplement 57, supplement page 57, where the words expensive are used by CEI witness Siebold, Just to give you an example, in our supplement, the first 6 or 8 pages are the cost of service study. And I want to emphasize to the court, that cost of service study is 165 pages long. And I did not burden you with the computer printout, single-spaced, 165 pages. But if you look at the supplement, the first few pages, you'll see Exhibit 2, admitted into evidence, used for fixing the rates in this case, is the cost of service study that Garfield Heights wants to force us to do every year. And it is detailed and expensive and undisputed, Your Honor.
Okay, then just one more question.
Sure.
That means if, in fact, we follow what you want and reverse, that you want us to enter final judgment for you?
Well,
because
like
you say that the information that's in the record by the staff officer himself says that this is burdensome, unreasonable, and expensive.
That's right, and it's undisputed, and I think a proper result would be to reverse and simply hold that the evidence shows these are expensive and not useful for setting rates. However,
the reason I ask is because I thought you asked for a hearing on that issue.
I just said a minute ago, at the very least, the court should reverse and remand to straighten this out. I mean, this was not the focus, in fairness, of this trial. There is evidence in there. It does say that these are expensive studies. There is no, one of the witnesses testified, there is, quote, no practical way to do this, okay? But this was not the focus of the case. I mean, in candor. So at the very least, the commission should remand for the commission to hold a one-day hearing to determine just how burdensome it is.
It seems to, go ahead.
On page 6, you addressed the issue of the staff report investigation, not recommending the changes, and that therefore the burden was on Garfield to disprove matters. Could you elaborate on that argument?
Well, yes, that's a legal argument. It says, setting aside the question of whether the evidence is in the record on a legal basis, we did not seek an increase in rates here. We had an agreement with all of our interveners 5 years ago to freeze rates. Garfield Heights benefited from that agreement for a freeze in rates for 4.5 years, and alone among all the municipalities, they came in and tried to cut the rates 30% across the board. We maintained that by coming back in and saying, okay, we complain and appeal, and here are our existing rates. We want the existing rates, terms, conditions, which, by the way, do not include all these costly studies. We sustained our initial burden of proof. At that point, we maintained that the burden shifted to Garfield Heights to prove that their 30% across the board was some basis for it, was reasonable compared to the existing rates, uniform across the whole CEI territory, which had been in effect for 4 years, and which the commission had approved.
I can understand how that affected the 30% rate increase argument, but how does that affect the non-rate argument? How did the burden shift to Garfield on the non-rate argument, if that's your position?
Well, the position is that the general terms and conditions, rules and regulations, which don't include any of these costly studies by municipality, if we tendered those and say, just reaffirm those, Commission, now the burden shifts to them to say, but we want to add these extra studies to the general rules and regulations just for the benefit of the people of Garfield Heights. So for those 13,000 customers, we want all the rest of the customers throughout the service territory to pay for these experts. By the way, the cost of service study was performed by Ms. Siebold. She's a master's in statistics. We're talking hundreds of man hours, but hundreds of man hours of very expert people to do these cost of service studies. And they want one every year.
There seems to be a this seems, which we don't usually find in these in utilities cases, there seems to be a real difference of opinion as to what the record is. You say there you presented all this evidence, and they make statements like absolutely no evidence. The record demonstrates this special contract filing provision and so forth is a burden. What are we going to find if we find the record that there is enough evidence that if we find it that you are more accurate than their brief is. One remedy we could provide is to send it back and tell the commission there is sufficient evidence here. It seems like we're second-guessing, obviously, which we do, but supplanting their opinion on this. But if we find there's enough evidence, we send it back and tell them, look, you have to make some decision on this because there is sufficient evidence. Is that it? without entering judgment for you. It seems to me we wouldn't do that.
If you remand and said you have to make a decision on this one way or the other, determine if you need a hearing, that would be a very fair result here. I say there's evidence, and I believe Mr. Colbert's brief at page 14 agrees that Ms. Siebel, Mr. Cantwell for the company, his witness, Mr. Tucker, did testify that these studies and these inventories are going to be very expensive to do. I believe his brief does concede that, okay? I think he is arguing, if I'm not mistaken, that is not enough to trick the commission to make a decision. I say the commission should make a decision on the issue.
Your time is running out.
Yes, sir.
You want to move to the cost issue?
Commissioner Finelli's concurring opinion says it all, Your Honor. We think that where a municipality disputes the existing rates approved by the commission and comes in and loses, they ought to pay the costs. We ask for a reversal and remand. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. McLaren. Mr. Colbert.
If it pleases the court, I'm Paul Colbert here on behalf of the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. I would reserve 2 minutes with balance of my time for Henry Ackert, counsel for the City of Garfield Heights. First, I'd like to point out that if this court provides a remedy of remand to CEI, it will reward CEI for its failure to sustain its burden of proof in this case. Further, if it remands to the commission without an order that the commission take in new evidence, then the commission will be in the position of bringing back the same decision that it already has brought back, because the commission has already found.
Well, I guess the difficulty I'm having is that we have these statements in the briefs that seem to be on two different tracks. I mean, you say there's absolutely no evidence, and he says, well, there is evidence. He tells us what the evidence is, and it seems to me, frankly, just not looking at the record yet, but it seems to me that there's something that almost two different cases here. What does the record show? I mean, we have this Ms. Siebel, who apparently is an expert and provide a fair amount of evidence, whether it's worthy or not, I don't know, but we have two issues, don't we? One is whether there's sufficient evidence for the commission to even make a decision, and then the other is if there's enough evidence there for them to make a decision, whether or not they make it one way or the other. And your strong contention seems to be there's just not absolutely no evidence there on which the commission can make a decision.
Yes, Your Honor. Our contention is, and we stand by that contention, that there's absolutely no evidence in the record concerning the non-rate provisions of the Garfield ordinances. As Mr. McLaren just stated, the evidence placed into record concerning, by Mr. Cantwell and Ms. Siebel, as well as by various witnesses for the staff, in this case, witnesses Hess, Tucker, and Maxwell, all led to the rate issues of the case. That is, they were testifying concerning the values of property, how that property should be allocated under this court's decision in the City of Columbus case for determination of rates under 4909-0915, the rate-making formula. Well, none of that evidence went toward the issue of the various filings being required by the ordinance of the City of Garfield Heights. Indeed, the evidence...
I thought there was evidence that indicated how much of a burden would be for them to prepare these reports for the benefit of Garfield Heights. Does that go to rates, or I thought that was a non-rate issue.
No, Your Honor. First, that evidence did go to rates. It went toward the preparation of the property values to be used in determination of rate base, and whether in determination of those values, that evidence must be Garfield-specific data or could be allocated. Mr. Cantwell testified that there was not enough Garfield-specific data to do, or that data was not kept by CEI for Garfield-specific by municipality. Ms. Siebel testified that there was enough Garfield-specific data to properly allocate to the City of Garfield. Now, there was testimony, as Mr. McLaren indicated, that it would be expensive to keep this data by specific municipality. There was no evidence to determine how expensive, whether it would cost $10,000, $50,000, or $1 million. The commission has no idea of the amount of burden that this would have placed on the company, if any burden. At the same time, however, there was testimony from both Ms. Siebel and commission staff witness Tucker that a proper allocation could be made. And there, of course, is no evidence in the record as to whether or not the city of Garfield would accept allocations in satisfaction of its filings. So how the ordinance would be satisfied, what it would take to satisfy the non-rate provisions of the ordinance, and the cost and the burden that these provisions of the ordinance would place on the company is nowhere to be found in the record, and indeed no witness attempted to testify to it, and there was no cross-examination on that subject.
And it's your position that Cleveland Electric should have presented this evidence. It was insurer's responsibility in any way to present it.
That's correct, Your Honor. 4909.18 places the burden of proof in this case directly on CEI. CEI agrees with that assessment in their brief. CEI suggests that they sustain that burden of proof due to the existing tariff's terms and conditions, as Justice Stratton raised those questions. Unfortunately, the 4909.12, which is the statutory section that talks about prior tariffs being admitted in evidence, only says that those terms and conditions are reasonable as of the time they were decided under the conditions then decided. The terms and conditions of CEI were decided 7 years ago, the existing terms and conditions at the time this case was held. So that those terms and conditions and taken under the conditions 7 years ago are not evidence of their reasonableness today in this case. Now, the evidence that CEI relies on here of Mr. Catwell and Ms. Siebel, as was previously stated, goes simply to the question of values of property and allocations for rate-making purposes. In fact, the evidence that they seek to rely on for staff witness Maxwell goes neither to rates nor non-rate issues, but to service issues, distribution feeders on the lines. Nowhere in the record, at any place in the record, is there any evidence on the non-rate provisions at all in this case. And the commission properly found that it had no opinion. Indeed, in the face of that lack of evidence, it would have been irresponsible to find that it had an opinion on the non-rate provisions before the court in this case.
Well, maybe we should adopt the position in the other concurring opinion of Commissioner Finelli, who said, commission doesn't have jurisdiction, it looks like. Let them go to the county police court. Want to do that?
Your Honor, first, this court has already looked at, in a line of cases, the question of whether or not non-rate provisions are within the jurisdiction of the commission. The statute, 4909.39, specifically grants the commission jurisdiction, and as early as 1918, shortly after the constitutional provisions were enacted that would vest the municipality with jurisdiction, this court in Cleveland Telephone and Telegraph indicated that those provisions were within the jurisdiction of the commission.
I understand that. I wrote a couple of those cases, so I know exactly the Kazmaier case and others, so I know what you're talking about. So you don't want this to get out of the jurisdiction of the commission?
No, Your Honor.
All right. If that's the case, then, does the commission, forgetting all the technicalities and formalities we seem to go through in these cases, does the commission think these regulations are onerous? Does the commission think they're not onerous? Or does the commission just not want to solve them?
Your Honor, in this case, the CEI had the clear burden of proof to discuss and to present evidence concerning the reasonableness of those provisions. It failed to do so. And in addition, no other party in this case presented any evidence concerning those provisions. In that circumstance, the commission determined that it could not form an opinion and did not form an opinion.
Okay, so now, you did not give a merit opinion on that issue.
That's correct.
So if they come in and file on that issue now, you're not going to claim race judicata.
That's an issue that the commission...
No,
the
I'm asking you. You're saying we express no opinion.
That's correct.
Now that means they can come back then because there's no merit decision and challenge this.
490934, Your Honor, gives a company 30 days after an ordinance is filed to come back before the commission.
Now what's the harm of us sending it back for a hearing?
The harm for sending it back before a hearing would be that it would reward CEI for its failure to sustain its burden of proof. It would essentially admit that there was no evidence before the commission on which the commission could decide originally, and it would require the commission to make one party's case for that party by allowing it a second bite at the apple. Now, the commission deemed that it should not make any party's case for it, and this court should not substitute its judgment for the commission and the commission's factual finding in the case that no evidence was before it, and require the commission to gather new evidence when CEI could have, with reasonable diligence, presented evidence to the commission in the first place. In fact, had CEI wanted to present new evidence to the commission, it could have requested an opportunity to do so in its application on rehearing. It did not do so. Instead, for the first time on its application rehearing, because in its briefs before the commission, it did not claim that there was evidence in the record. In the first time in its application for rehearing, it raised the testimony of Mr. Catwell and Ms. Siegel,
yes,
and the staff witnesses. So it was only on rehearing that they claimed at all that there was any evidence, and they never did request to actually place evidence concerning these issues in the record before the commission.
Mr. McLaren said that the Public Utilities Commission early position was that it had no jurisdiction to consider the non-rate issues, and then there was this apparently understanding that the statute indeed did give the commission the authority to review those. At what point was that in the hearing process when that elucidation came?
As Mr. McLaren indicated, very early in the hearing process, there was a motion by the City of Garfield Heights to stipulate as to these issues. I differ with Mr. McLaren. My recollection of it is, and this was our oral motion, but the staff also declined to give up jurisdiction over those issues. However, as the case unfolded, there was no evidence presented on those issues. CEI did not present any evidence, and of course, the staff did not. The staff report of investigation, by statute, is based on 490915, in this case, and the rate-making formula. And that is what the staff investigation focused on and staff testimony focused on.
I guess what I'm wondering is whether, I'll ask Mr. McLaren if he comes back up, whether they were somehow misled into thinking that there was no reason to offer that kind of evidence if the commission had no jurisdiction to consider. I notice in footnote 9 of your brief, you indicate that jurisdiction seems to be based on not on jurisdiction as we think of it with the authority to hear an issue, but rather no jurisdiction because they didn't give us enough evidence upon which to make a decision. That's typically not jurisdiction, is it?
Well, the failure to present evidence is not a jurisdictional question.
Right. But your footnote seems to indicate that's what the commission believes. I guess I'm misreading that.
Your Honor, there was no discussion during the case of the jurisdiction of the commission to look at the non-rate provisions of these ordinances. In fact, during the case, there was no discussion of the non-rate provisions at all. The only indication that the commission at any time gave that there was a jurisdictional question was in Commissioner Finelli's concurring opinion. And as Mr. McLaren said at this time, it certainly is true that the commission believes it has, and would argue strongly, that it has jurisdiction over these matters. In summing up, I would also point out that CEI has asked that the commission assess costs to the city of Garfield Heights in this case. The commission, in its order, specifically found that Garfield Heights put on a case and engaged in discovery, and that under those circumstances, there was no reason to assess costs to the city of Garfield Heights. Under 4903.24, that is clearly a matter within the discretion of the commission to find, and it did so in this case. Because the manifest weight of the evidence supports the commission's findings in this case in its entirety, this court should affirm the commission's decision to have no opinion regarding the non-rate provisions of the Garfield ordinances and to not assess costs against the city of Garfield Heights. I will defer the balance of my time
thank
to
you,
Mr. Eckert.
Thank you, Mr. Colbert. Mr.
Thank
Eckert.
You.
May it please the court, I'm Henry W. Eckhart. I represent the city of Garfield Heights, and I have, from the beginning of the passage of these ordinances, I think I'm particularly familiar with the purpose and the need for them. I think maybe first I would like to clear up one thing about this request for the stipulation and the jurisdiction. I made a request at the beginning of the hearing that we stipulate that the non-rate issues would not be considered in the case because they had not raised them in their objections to the staff report. I was trying to find out for my own purposes at that time if they were going to be an issue and if I needed to cross-examine witnesses about it, if I needed to present evidence about it. Both counsel for the commission and the company refused to enter into that stipulation, and I then expected the company to go ahead and produce evidence in that regard. They did not do so. In regard to the possible other opportunities or options that CEI has, they have filed, did file in the Common Police Court of Cuyahoga County a lawsuit against not only the city of Garfield Heights, but my city council members and the mayor for personal judgments against them. That case was dismissed on a motion for summary judgment. So they tried also to exercise some powers over these Garfield Heights ordinances in the Cuyahoga County Common Police Court, and they were denied that right. I think it's important to understand that these ordinances not only or don't just require a cost of service study, but under the municipality's 4909.34 rights to set rates, they require a number of routine documents that the company has, that the city of Garfield Heights tried to get before we passed these ordinances and were unable to get. Those things are very easy to provide. And then if you want to talk about this, quote, very costly, unquote, cost of service study, frankly, that is a much less onerous burden than counsel for CEI would have you believe. But I think you should note that we're talking about $20 million a year in revenues that CEI receives out of the city of Garfield Heights. They have over $50 million in rate base that they claim that they are earning a rate of return on in Garfield Heights, and they have over $7 billion total in assets.
But they suggest, Council, that these studies aren't relevant to anything that you know, for their rate base. So that, maybe you don't need much evidence, and the commission could see that this is the tie.
That, Your Honor, we just disagree with 180 degrees. Today, in today's rate making, you set rates based on cost of service studies. They are routinely prepared with today's powerful computers. We had a consultant in this case who did a cost of service study by himself at his home on a computer with a 486 chip. These are not the kind of massive, detailed, onerous efforts that they used to be when they did it by hand. Whether it's 165 pages or not, a computer can print that out in a very short time. He has on his program the CEI database for this, and he can do that. They can do it also. It is essential, and this other information is essential. If you accept Revised Code 4909.34, that municipalities have a right to set rates, they have to have the information with which to do it. And the fact that CEI has such a big company and so many municipalities in its service territory should not be used against each of those municipalities to deny them the ability to exercise their rights under the Article 18 of the Ohio Constitution and under 490934.
You need to sum up, Mr. Richards.
Yes. So far as the cost issue is concerned, Your Honor, assessing costs against the city is just a hammer over the municipalities that would make that impossible for them if they had that threat, if they lost using their exercise of their power, they were going to have to pay some large amount of cost. The cities would be denied their right and their power under 490934. I therefore urge the affirmance of the PUCO decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. McLaren, you saved a little time. It'll take a minute.
Yes, I just have just a couple of minutes, Your Honor. Transcript 1, page 30, Mr. Eckert to Attorney Zander notes, I said that the staff has not made any investigation of these procedural issues, these mechanical issues. He's referring to the non-rate provisions of the ordinances. I'm skipping a line or two. I don't think even anybody... They have not been stricken, so they are an issue, okay? Skipping a few lines now, down to the bottom of page 30 of the transcript, examiner notes, it is purely procedural or legal argument, though, isn't it? I mean, that's something you can address on brief. That occurred the first day of the hearings, the non-rate provisions of the ordinances, we understood, were a legal jurisdictional issue. Now, the routine documents that Mr. Eckert mentioned are not an issue. We have not appealed those. It is true Mr. Eckert did a discovery request by way of an ordinance and required us to give him annual reports and FERC Form 1s, which are this thick, and those kinds of things. We are not disputing that. We're not appealing that to this court. It's not worth this court's time. We've given them to Garfield Heights. We will continue to give them to Garfield Heights. It's the expensive studies that we object to. This is the cost of service studies. It's 165 pages long, single space, computerized data. It takes a master's in statistics to do it at CEI properly, and they want us to do it once a year. And the undisputed evidence is that it's expensive and burdensome. Mr. Colbert didn't deny it's expensive and burdensome. Let me read you one sentence from page 14 of the AG's brief.
Then that'll be your last sentence.
Yes, sir. And then can I ask to be remanded in reverse?
Well, we assume that.
Yes. Quote, during cross-examination, Ms. Siebold does testify that the property assigned to Garfield was allocated, that in general, Garfield's specific property records are not kept by CEI, and that while CEI maintains a substantial amount of data, it is expensive to analyze. We request that you reverse and remand.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.